This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Hi, Mr. Durham. It's a big day for the Canes on ACC Network. The tour comes rolling in there tonight at 7 p.m. We got the all-access show, which will be great, beginning at 8 p.m. And we head down to South Florida right now to talk to Joe Zagacki, the voice of the Canes. And, of course, he's got a tropical shirt because that's what you do when you can pull that off down there at Miami and only in Miami. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. Happy anniversary. I'm honored to be on your anniversary show. And, by the way, the all-access.
Well, first of all.
The university is going to be tremendous tonight.
I'm looking forward to it.
Ooh. Oh, there we go. Okay, take us to what you've seen. What have you seen on Green Tree, Joe? Tell us about practice because a lot of people want to know about De'Aaron King. I just want the overview.
Well, I would say this: we're less than 2 weeks away from the first game, and I think that this was supposed to be the cutoff point for De'Aaron King. When we started training camp, we all thought that was going to be the big question, and we have a huge exhale. Because De'Aaron King is not a question at all. He's looked great so far. He has been throwing the ball with accuracy. He runs with authority. De'Aaron has been a great leader so far. You would not know that he was injured, a couple of months ago or back in December, the way he's participated in practice. So that's not going to be a question going into the Alabama game. A couple of years ago, I told you our quarterback was Mr. Maybe. Our quarterback going into Alabama is Mr. Conviction because he's playing with a conviction right now. That question is not going to be a problem. Miami's concentrating on defense. Manny Diaz takes over as the play caller. You got to be better with their run defense. And, of course, against Alabama, you got to be a great tackling team and you got to be really physical. So those are some of the things they have been concentrating on in terms of training camp and on their defense.
Joe, I know that when Manny joined us the last time, which is about a week and a half ago, he told us the story of a practice in which De'Aaron decided, hey, I'm going to plant this foot and just see where it goes. And he had to do it from almost more of a mental thing than a physical thing. And he said almost like the whole team kind of knew when it happened. It was like, okay, guess what? Number one's back and ready to roll. And so, I like you said, I don't think there's an issue in Miami with number one under center that he's going to be 100% ready to roll. I think one of the things you just said, though, will be critical in that game against Bama. You know, that first week, you never really know what you have until you go out and compete. But if you don't tackle well against Alabama, it's a long day. And I think that's the one thing you always worry. To me, it's always the big story in week one. Teams that tackle well in week one. It tells you kind of what the camp was like leading into it.
Well, it's always something that Manny Diaz emphasizes. And you know the old football line, you are what you emphasize. And Miami emphasizes tackling. They have been a good tackling team for the most part under Coach Diaz. That will be obviously a really important element of that game. Alabama just comes at you in so many different waves. Alabama in this game, by the way, this will be the ninth time they played in a kickoff type classic game. They've only won the game by 28 points and averaged 35 points per game in those contests. So Miami knows what they're up against. It's a great measuring stick, a great barometer for Miami to find out where their program is. Great way to start the season. Everybody's really excited about it. I think for the players, it's been something that they've been able to concentrate on a little bit during training camp because you know what's out there. You know that you're starting the season with the ultimate in college football. Not a cupcake, but you are starting the season with a team that has dominated college football. So I think that's been something that has been on Miami's calendar and right in front of them throughout training camp.
Joe, in some ways, the long game comes into play here too, right? And we talked with Coach Diaz about this. Win or lose in the opener in Atlanta, you still got the rest of the season. I mean, there is that element of, hey, there's 11 more of these left. And in your case, I mean, you're talking about Appalachian State. You're talking about Michigan State. I mean, it's not like you go Miami to FCS. You're continuing on here.
Well, Wes, I think you make a really good point because you get a little concerned that you put all of your eggs in one basket, Alabama, and that's how the country is going to measure you. And, you know, everybody's going to be saying, Miami's back or Miami's not back. And one of my biggest fears, and I think one of the biggest keys, not only in the game against Alabama, but also coming out of it, is morale. I think, you know, you look at Alabama and you go, okay, they can beat you with their power run game. They can beat you with great wide receivers. They can beat you with great outside linebackers, tremendous secondary, this and that. But then you have to wonder about morale. That's what they do. And when the game is over, if it doesn't go Miami's way, you got a lot of holdover players, you know, the super senior players that finally did come back, and you have to make sure that you don't lose those guys because you have the rest of the season to go and a lot to play for. And by the way, you guys have accurately pointed out a little game there in October in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, against North Carolina, who put, you know, 50 points or whatever it was on Miami a year ago.
Joe, based on what you have seen and heard, what has been the biggest pleasant surprise about the fall camp?
Next to De'Ara King, I think some of the more pleasant surprises, they have three young wide receivers, all from Dade and Broward County, that I think have really come on really well. And Romello Brinson, Jacoby George, Rashard Smith, I think all three of those guys, you're going to be saying their names a lot. Now, it might not be in the Alabama game, but down the road, you're going to be saying their name a lot. They made a move of Keontre Smith. They moved him from safety or striker to linebacker. He's about 5'11", 220 pounds. You might say a little undersized for linebacker, but the opponent is going to say, we have to block a moving target. And they also moved Amari Carter from safety down to striker, and I think that position has been a natural for Amari Carter, who's one of those super seniors, super kid, great leader, one of the hardest, most punishing hitters in college football. And I think the move to striker benefits him and the Miami defense. It gets him down in the box. It also prevents him from, you know, getting one of those running starts. Amari's had a problem of staying in the game with targeting penalties. And so the move to striker, I think, condenses his play a little bit, and he's really been a pleasant surprise.
All right, Joe, Manny Diaz takes over this defense, as you noted. You mentioned the personnel move with Carter. We expect Miami to be really good on defense. That's one of the encouraging signs, I think, through the spring and certainly through the offseason. But yet, has it got as many brand names as good Miami defenses of the past? I mean, we know about Bubba Bolden, but do you see guys that are ready to take the next step? This seems to be a more collaborative Miami defense rather than, hey, they got five or six, you know, NFL-type guys in the first three rounds. That's why they're going to be good.
Yeah, so we're looking at a couple of guys right there. Quincy Roche and Jalen Phillips last year. Those guys were, you know, they were werewolves on wheels getting to the quarterback. We might not have those type of players just yet. But Jafari Harvey is a young defensive end that was highly recruited out of Vero Beach. Chance Williams on the other side, highly recruited defensive end out of Oak Leaf High School in Jacksonville that brought Miami. Shaquille Quarterman and Jalen Rivers, one of their tackles, was a top 10 defensive end in the country. So those two guys are going to get a chance. DeAndre Johnson is a transfer in from Tennessee. He's going to get an opportunity. He's done a nice job in training camp. Then Zach McLeod has been here for a long time. Was a linebacker last year in the bowl game. They kicked him down to defensive end. And just by the nature of the Miami defense, when the ball is snapped, they have, you know, their defensive line, their front seven is thinking one thing, and that is get to the quarterback. I think that's what makes the defense fun to play in. I think that's what's going to be attractive to future recruits. And I do think that somebody like Harvey or Williams or Johnson, they will emerge because of the scheme. The way Manny Diaz puts his players in the attack mode. So we don't know who they're going to be just yet. We know the names, but it's going to be up to those guys to emerge.
Joe, I can't help but notice that photo of the old Orange Bowl over your left shoulder because it was such an incredible place to watch a game. The Hard Rocks turned into a really good home field advantage given all the changes of the stadium and so forth. But I'm always intrigued about the vibe in Miami. I mean, you live in one of the great international cities in the world. There's a thousand things to do. So, you know what? You got to find that hook, right? You got to figure out a way to get – how do people get motivated to be interested? Hey, you go play number one in week one, everybody will be watching. But what do you get as far as the temperature? And I'm not talking about, hey, it's 91 and perfect in Miami. But what's the temperature of the Miami fan heading into 21, expectation-wise?
I think every year they're very enthusiastic We have five national championships here, and every year the expectations are, you know, national championship. Now that's been tough sledding, obviously, just trying to get to the ACC championship game. And I always say, if you can get your program to win 10 games every year, then you're probably going to be playing for something great at the end of the year. Miami's only won 10 games one time since 2003, and that was in 2017 with Coach Rick. So I always think 10 should be the goal, and 10 probably gets you to an ACC championship game, great bowl game, probably some postseason playoff. But Miami fans will always rally behind the University of Miami. They treat this program like it's a professional program. If you're going to play here, you have to understand that. If you're going to play here, you have to understand that you're going to be judged just like Dan Marino was judged, just like Tua is going to be judged now. You're De'Ara King, and he does. You accept that responsibility. Not every other player has accepted that responsibility in the last 15 years. The crowd, the fan base here is very excited about Miami playing Alabama. They're really excited about some of the things that Coach Diaz has been able to accomplish in recruiting. And when Miami football and the Hurricanes win, Pac and Wes, there's nothing like it in this town. People love the Heat. They love the Dolphins. Follow the Marlins. Get excited about the Panthers. But when the University of Miami is winning, I just think that this town goes to another level. A Miami football game, when they're winning, is kind of a cross between, you know, an English Premier Soccer League game and probably an old Oakland Raiders game.
There's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. Hey, Joe, if it's okay that Carolina's getting all the love in the Coastal, is that okay right now for Miami, you think?
Yeah, I think it's just fine. Let them take on all the pressure, and Miami can build up to that game and let Carolina have that burn, and the University of Miami can, you know, kind of sneak along here. But I guess if they were to beat Alabama, and it says Miami has the second-best chance to win the ACC, but if they were to beat Alabama, then, you know, all the attention and spotlight would be on the University of Miami. So for right now, the fact that Carolina is picked in front of them, I think Miami is okay with that. A salute to Carolina. They, you know, they beat Miami the last 2 years, and last year beat the University of Miami soundly and really sent Manny Diaz back to the chalkboard. The Carolina game showed a major breach in the Miami run defense, something that the Hurricanes have to take care of and better be improved with this year. Otherwise, it will be a much longer season than anticipated. So Carolina showed some weaknesses last year. Their pick number one in the Coastal. Miami knows that. They've got that circled. But first things first, get through the last 2 weeks of training camp healthy and go take on mighty Alabama.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to worry about a game in October against North Carolina or anybody else for that matter when the very first step of the season is Alabama. I mean, you better be dialed in and ready to roll in the ATL, and we'll get to October. But it's going to be fun, Joe. I think all of us are ready for football to get started.
I mean, we are playing Alabama. This is the first time these two have played since 1993, went Alabama's way that year. In 89, they played in the 90s Sugar Bowl. Miami won the national championship that year with Dennis Erickson. But, look, this play in Alabama, this is a major challenge. What Nick Saban and what Alabama's been able to do is incredible. If you look at their numbers, you barely want to come out of the closet to play them. They've scored 35 or more points in 26 of the last 27 games. And during that stretch, they did it 25 in a row. And the only time they didn't score more than 35 was against Notre Dame. They scored, they only scored 31. And I think they took a knee at the end of the game. And that's why they didn't reach 35. We saw them last year in our stadium here. They played Ohio State and for the championship game, and it wasn't close. So there's a path to a victory for the University of Miami. That path might not be as wide as the yellow brick road, but there is a path to victory. Miami just got to stay on it. They got to stay close all the way through the game, stay attached, down in distance, scoreboard-wise, and then we'll see what happens. But get to the fourth quarter, and let's see what happens.
There you go. Joe Zagacki, the longtime voice of the Canes. Appreciate it, my man. Be well.
All right, fellas, by the time you're done in the basement, I'll be looking at some emerald green and blue water out on Hollywood Beach. And happy anniversary.
Yeah, by the way, Joe, by the time you get off that emerald green water, I'll be looking at some brown water with one ice cube in it. So we'll call it even.
We have that here, Pac. They call that the tropical cocktail.
There you go. Now we're talking.
There you go. Yeah. There we go. Joe Z, thanks, bud. See you soon.
All right.
Don't forget the All Access with Miami follows the ACC Network football road trip tonight from Coral Gables. Dallin Cuff and Mark Richt with Manny Diaz, the Canes Challenge for not only the conference title, but obviously the opener against Alabama with the Eric King. Tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, teams hitting the road. The literal road, the road game. How does FPI see some of these road games? Pac, I know you're interested. We're going to cover this over the next two segments next on Packer and Durham. Good morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
It's going to be our theme song next Thursday, live from Raleigh. Wes, Pack, the crew,
yeah, it is.
Tuffy, Bojangles. Can't wait, man. Finally get to leave the basement. It's going to be nice. 10 days away being in Raleigh.
Yeah, it is.
Looking forward to that.
Kevin Keats might want to show up. Elliot Avent, check on you, make sure you're doing okay. Those guys are always concerned about you.
Well, they should be concerned. It's been a rough 21, I got to be honest with you. Between torn tendons and Turks and Caicos mishaps and COVID issues. I'm ready for football. I deserve football. It's kind of how I look at it, Wes. I deserve football. In fact, that should be our theme. I deserve football for all of us. We all deserve it.
No. The theme is come for it all Network.
Come for it all. There it is.
Not I deserve football.
I deserve football. That's what I'm going to use. Hashtag.
Oh, great.
I deserve football.
All right. Ready to hit the road here because FPI has gone to work on some things. I can tell. You're already hesitating.
50%, right? The number is going to be 50% across the board. Is that what FPI is going to give us? 50%
not
chance?
Not necessarily. Okay, not necessarily.
Good. That's good.
According to our friends at FPI, there are two ACC teams, Clemson and Miami, who are favored to win every one of their road games this year.
Hmm.
All right? The Tigers are heavy favorites at NC State. Heavy, Pack.
Well, go look at the history.
I got to tell you, I'm a little surprised.
I'm not surprised.
I understand, but still.
I'm
early and a big number.
Clemson has had NC State's number.
And I'll say this, too. I think the Pitt number's big.
Pitt did beat him in Death Valley. It's going to be unique to see Clemson roll into Pittsburgh. Right? We haven't seen that, period.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised with these numbers.
You're right.
Until proven otherwise, the championship in this league goes through Death Valley. Doesn't mean they're going to guarantee to win it. They've won six straight. North Carolina's really good. Miami's really good. NC State will be excited to see the Tigers at the end of September. But those numbers, before you see a single game, those numbers do not surprise me at all.
They don't. How about the University of Miami? Let's look at their numbers here. Just four road games. Remember, Alabama's on a neutral site. There you go.
Well, I can't emphasize how big October 16th is, and North Carolina fans are looking at that and licking their chops, going, oh, yeah, that's the team we beat by 100 last year in their house. They're coming to our house. I can't remember the last time we lost to them. And you guys think we're an underdog? I mean, North Carolina fans love that number by FPI. Love that number. Miami's got to take it on the road and win. And like I said, until you see anybody play, Wes, this is the old just roll the dice and see where it goes. You got to figure Miami's going to have better personnel than Duke. Florida State's a work in progress, but it's a rival game. They will be excited in Tallahassee when the U comes in there. I'm curious to see what Florida State looks like in their opener against Notre Dame. I think the Irish, given what they lost from a senior leadership standpoint, taking it on the road, prime time, Chief Osceola, Mike Norvell's got people fired up. They're doing a great job on the recruiting front. Again, until week one, to me, is always a goofy week. You just never know what you're going to get. Never know.
Okay. Staying in the coastal here, Pitt and Virginia Tech are expected to win four of their five ACC road games. Let's look at the Hokies first.
Wow.
Including 56% for Coach Fuente in Morgantown.
All right, I know you want to win every game. If you're a Virginia Tech fan, you're watching this morning, you say, hey, that's right, we're going to win every game. You know what? I think you would sign up to take four out of five and never play a game. That's what I'd do. There's a lot of 50%ers in there, Wes. And you know how I like to make fun of FPI.
Yeah, there are.
But if you can win four of five on the road with that group right there, I'd sign up and run if I was Virginia Tech. I'd sign up and say, you know what? We'll give you an L somewhere in that group, but I'll take the other four W's and not ask any questions.
Right. I think that if you said, hey, look, here are the four, would you go with it? I absolutely think they would sign up for that, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Again, all right. Speculation. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Look at these right here, including Rocky Top in week two.
To me, this is a much more manageable road schedule. I mean, if you're going to play two teams in this conference, if you had your pick today, who are the two teams you'll play on the road? I'll take Duke and Syracuse on the road. Take my chances. Playing in Blacksburg, again, the Hokies, by October 16th, Virginia Tech's going to be really, really good and fired up, or I'm not sure where they're going to go, right? Because it's so front-loaded with home games. And that first one against North Carolina is kind of a tone setter. Georgia Tech on the road, you take your chances. And I said before, Tennessee's got a cool stadium, great marching band. I love the checkered end zones. Love their tradition and history. But quite frankly, they haven't been any good in 15 years. So I'll take my chances there too.
Okay. Georgia Tech game. Remember, that's where Vincent Davis ran wild last year. They've had some weird games in Atlanta, too, the Jackets and Panthers had.
I think Pitt's got a much more manageable road schedule than Virginia Tech, in my opinion. To put them both under the category of four out of five, hey, it may end up that way, but I think Pitt's got an easier road to winning four than Virginia Tech.
All right. BC and Carolina are expected to win three of their road games, according to FPI. Three. And in BC's case, that's just half. They have six road games this year. Boston College is favored against UMass, Temple, and Syracuse. Clemson, Louisville, and Georgia Tech, they're on the other side, Pac.
If you ask me over and under in one of our segments, I would go over BC winning more than three on the road. I'm going to buy Jeff Hafley's offense. I think their defense will be better. I think they can win more than three on that list right there, in my humble opinion, on August 23rd, our anniversary date.
Okay. All right. You want to take a look at Carolina here before we get to the bottom of the hour?
Let's do it.
Tar Heels also expected to win three out of four road games. Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, and NC State. That Pitt-Carolina game at Heinz Field in November, Pac?
Well, I was going to say that North Carolina-NC State game, if you want to start thinking big time, that could very well be for a spot in Charlotte for both of them. Just saying, if NC State's as good as advertised, and you know, you kind of got a feeling that they're going to do something to Clemson on September 25th, who knows? Can you imagine that game? Winner gets to go to Charlotte. Loser gets to go to a nice bowl. Can you imagine the intensity level in that game? That's a pretty good test on the road, though. Virginia Tech, we've talked about ad nauseum during the offseason. Notre Dame in South Bend, be a nice, crisp afternoon or evening for that game. Pitt, NC State, good clubs. I think both of them have upside. If everything falls right, could be a 9 or 10 win season both places. Those are good tests on the road for North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. When we come back, we'll dive into some of the others. Wake Forest is next, Duke, Georgia Tech, Louisville, NC State, Florida State, Syracuse, and Virginia. All on our list of the FPI road schedule success metric that Packer is already completely endorsing. Kinda. Stay tuned. We continue halfway home on the Monday edition of Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
I just want to watch you head bob.
4 a.m. Chester, Fuller, Pac-Man. Coming down a dark street of Charlotte near you. With this cranked in my ears. Great. How do you get ready at 7 a.m. where you feel like it's in the middle of the afternoon? You listen to AC/DC at 4 a.m. That's how you do it. Who needs no stinking sleep? Crank up Angus and the boys and let's go. That's what I'm talking about, West Durham. Don't want to hear about you coming back jet-setting from Miami. Pack them on 2 hours of sleep. You crank up AC/DC. You crank up AC/DC back-to-back songs. Drew Brooks says everyone sounds the same. As long as it's loud, it's good. That's how you do it.
Did Drew really say every one of them sounds the same?
Yeah, he did.
Is that right?
And he lost points in my book for saying it. You know, if
wow.
Had Brooks gone to two AC/DC concerts in the span of 3 days like I did, you don't even hear it the second time. You just read lips.
Yeah, that's it. All right, let's get back to the FPI road projections for 2021. Next stop, Switzerland.
The Swiss.
Wake Forest is on the list. Who does FPI think has the best chance to win on the road this season? Well, for the Deeks, they've got them winning a pair of them at Syracuse and at Army. The rest of them, they don't like them. They don't like it. FPI is not going with the Swiss pack.
That's a tough road trip now. Listen, BC late, Chestnut Hill, bundle up. Death Valley anytime, bundle up. North Carolina, by the way, non-conference game, will be a test. Army will not be a whole lot of fun. Syracuse in the Dome, Virginia. That is a tough road schedule. That's why I go back to the Deeks. Third week, Florida State comes to the Switzerland land. That is a monster game. That's one of those momentum switching games or either side. Where that thing goes is anybody's guess. But that is a tough road deal right there for the Deeks, in my opinion. That's tough.
This would also be probably the appropriate time to tell you that the FPI percentages, we've been told, move. Once the season starts, these FPI percentages move. Heck, they move right now in some cases, I guess. But once the season starts, some of these could change. We may want to revisit this at times just to get a feel for it. But especially down the stretch, like you've mentioned with State and Carolina, the other one you just mentioned, Wake Forest, Boston College, think about where that one could figure in kind of the, you know, the rankings of the Atlantic as we work through November. So all those things, you know, we add that. And so we tell you that, you know, Wake Forest predicted to win two at least right now by FPI. There are four schools who FPI thinks can only win one road game this year. Let's start with Duke, Pack. The Blue Devils, 64% on opening night in Charlotte.
I mentioned that game last hour for Syracuse on the road at Ohio, Duke on the road at Charlotte. Those are really important games to get a W in your back pocket and then move forward. But I think all of us who follow this would probably tell you, you know what? There'll be a dog at North Carolina, Virginia, Wake, and Virginia Tech. Believe it or not, I actually agree with FPI on that front. That doesn't happen very often.
All right. Let's stop in Atlanta at Georgia Tech. Now, we've talked about the Jackets a lot here. Areas of improvement, explosive offense with Jeff Sims and Jahmyr Gibbs and pretty good depth in a lot of places. Still trying to sort where the defense might be and the offensive line in particular on that side. But the only time FPI likes them on the road is against Duke.
Agreed. I mean, you got three ranked in the top 15 of the AP preseason poll. Clemson, Miami, Notre Dame. I mean, that those games would be hard in Atlanta. Forget about taking it on the road. I think all of us probably think that, you know, Virginia is probably better than Georgia Tech as we sit here today, August 23rd, sight unseen. And the Duke game is one you got to – if you're Georgia Tech with that schedule this year, man, you got to steal one on the road if you can. And I would agree. They'd be favored at Duke today before we see anybody play.
Yep. Next on this list is Louisville. And Scott Satterfield's team, year three, goes to Florida State, Wake Forest, NC State, and Miami. And the only place that FPI – actually, that should be Duke – I think on November the 18th. It says Miami. It's Duke who they play on November the 18th.
Wes, what have I said to you about Louisville? To me, this is the weirdest team to try to figure out. And I kind of feel like Kirk Herbstreit on College Game Day, and I'm doing the game later that night. I really don't want to comment and give a prediction. I don't know what I'm going to get. I've said this to you 10 times if I said it once. I think Louisville is the hardest team to figure out in the preseason. They may win 8 or 9. They may win 3 or 4. I really don't know. I don't know. And even I know we've had a lot of guests on. We've had Coach Satterfield on. We've had players on. I don't know what to make of Louisville. I really don't. And I hope they have a great year. But nothing's going to surprise me with the Cards.
Well, I think Labor Day night is – Joe Zajacki just used the term measuring stick. I think in some ways that game has a little measuring stick – capability or possibility with it, because I think you're talking about, you got to find out where you are. You know where Ole Miss is. It's an important game. You want to win the game, but have you exercised the demons of last year in some ways? I think that's also important to know.
Wes, just take that game, right? If I said to you right now, the final score of that game is 52-35, the first thing you'd say to me is, well, Packer won the game. Who won the game? I mean, Ole Miss couldn't tackle me, Chester, Fuller, taking a nap last year. I know they can score. Lane Kiffin's a great offensive mind. Louisville can score a ton. Are they going to tackle? I mean, I just don't have a feel at all for the Cardinals. And that first game, I think, is going to be, after a wild weekend, which will start on Thursday when we come rolling into Raleigh, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday night, you have a game that might be as explosive as any game in college football in week one with Louisville and Ole Miss. Has the potential.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, let's go to NC State here, because we got three more after NC State. Wolfpack, not even predicted to win in Starkville. 50% prediction at BC. I know. And then Miami, Florida State, Wake Forest is 50.5.
So you're telling me NC State, according to FPI, will only win one road game? I will tell you right now.
That's what FPI is saying.
I will go over right now with NC State. I'm stunned at the Mississippi State number. I mean, when did Mississippi State turn into Alabama? Did I miss something there? Good grief.
I mean, you know.
I think we're now finding out there's some SEC grads running FPI. Holy mackerel. You mean NC State? If NC State played Mississippi State three times, they can only beat them once? I'll take that. I'll take that right now. I think NC State can beat Mississippi. I like NC State's chances of winning that game higher than 34%, in my opinion.
Golly.
Heaven forbid. Can I take a page from another network and go 34? That's embarrassing. That is truly embarrassing. What a joke. Clown show.
All right. FPI has three schools that they think will go winless on the road. Three in the ACC.
That's it.
We're going to start with Florida. We're going to start with Florida State. Close against Wake, close against BC, according to FPI.
What have I been telling you about September the 18th? Florida State, Wake Forest is a huge game for both of them. Florida State, I'm not surprised that there'll be a dog, according to FBI, at North Carolina, at Clemson, at Boston College, at Florida State. I mean, going to BC late November will not be a picnic. The Gator game, of course, anything in-state is always going to be fun. That's a tough road trip right there, boys and girls. Wake, Carolina, Clemson, mm-hmm. BC, Florida. Good luck. That's tough.
Yep. Deeks and Knowles, by the way, on that September 18th is a 3:30 kick. All right, let's go to Syracuse, who is not expected to, according to FBI, win any road games. Ohio is 49%. And the rest are all under 20, Pike.
Can I just keep repeating myself about that Ohio game? Syracuse at Ohio, Duke at Charlotte. Those games will not receive the attention of the others, and rightfully so, because of who the ACC is playing. But I cannot emphasize how big a game Syracuse at Ohio is for Dino Babers, coming off a one-win campaign. The year before that wasn't great either. Man, you got to win that one on the road. You have to. I'll tell you that. You know, because those other ones, Wes, you add up those numbers, doesn't look great for Syracuse. And you know what? Based on what you've seen the last 2 years, until proven otherwise, that's, again, you want to change the narrative? I'd say it all the time. You got to win those games. You got to beat Ohio if you're Syracuse running out of the gate. Have to do it. All right, we're going to go to break because I think we've got problems in Cottesville. You know, West takes it down to Miami. You know, Clifford gets the whole thing, and now you don't know what's going on. All right, we're going to go from football to hoops. Some speculating this alliance, where we're headed, what happens to March Madness in basketball. We'll get into all that stuff when we return. Second year anniversary. It's Packer and Durham right here on ACC.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, everybody had a good recovery this morning. Make sure we're on airplane mode. Locked in, ready to go.
But I want to really unpack something. We had a conversation this morning in the defensive staff room. I really want to unpack emotional toughness. Because, guys, external pressures put on you all, we recognize as a coaching staff. And golf, to me, is such a great example of emotional toughness. It's just the ball. It's just sitting there. So it's you and your what?
Mind.
And your mind. And your thoughts. Y'all know what I'm talking
about? Yeah.
Justin.
Yes, sir.
Let's cancel meetings. We're going to Topgolf.
Who would put a car dealership next to a Topgolf?
Hey, hit this camera right now. This right here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you almost kicked the thing off. Don't worry about it. Do it again.
What I hit?
Got the ball.
Ah! Hey, what?
Oh, oh, my God.
Are y'all getting it?
It's already on
Instagram
Live, so.
Hey,
Dodo,
game on the line.
Game on the line.
Give me
that here. Gotta pass the yellow.
Yellow.
Yellow, you down 2 points.
Oh! He caught it!
Not bad. You wanna turn your hips, and that'll make the ball inside out. If anything, it'll go right.
Coach Diaz got gloves, shoes, golf clubs. They were mentally and physically prepared for this.
Yeah.
We got Jimmy the boot.
Got the boot on.
Hold
on.
The ball in the air.
Oh!
Them boys fighting. Welcome to camp.
All Miami football, all access. That is tonight at 8 p.m. It's one of part two. Part two is coming up Wednesday night, but should be a great deal of fun. And ironically, since it's all about the Canes, it seems like tonight, 7 p.m., our road trip rolls down there. Mark Richt and the boys will take good care of you. So if you love your Canes, tonight is the place to be. That'd be ACC Network. We have one more team to go through as far as road trips, and that is the University of Virginia. They're one of three teams that the FBI does not believe can win on the road. We've talked about Virginia's road woes before. If they're going to get back to the Charlotte for an ACC championship, guess what? You got to be able to do it on the road. And look who they play. At North Carolina, FBI says a 20% chance to win. At Miami, 15%. At Louisville, under 50. At BYU, Bronco Mendenhall goes back and sees his own boys, under 40%. And at Pittsburgh, that is a tough road. But you know what? I know FBI thinks they go 0-5. We're sitting here on August the 23rd. I think Virginia will find at least one W out of that group. At least one. But that's what happens on August the 23rd before you see anybody play. FBI thinks the Hoos will go 0-for. We will see. All right, quick break. We come back. Nicole Auerbach is going to join us coming up top of the hour. We have a ton of stuff to get into. We'll take your phone calls, too, if you're in the mood. 844-SAY-ACCN. But looking forward to touching base about the Alliance. Speculation continues. We'll break it down with Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic. All that coming up right here at Packer and Durham. Second year anniversary show. Come right back to you on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.